Somebody say praise the Lord. Beautiful day to be in the kingdom of God. Wonderful day to know that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I appreciate people of God. I appreciate all those that took part in the fall festival on Friday evening. It's a wonderful time of fellowship and a wonderful time of ministry to children. And also, I want to tell you that that festival springs up out of Sister Bonnie's heart. Something that she's always wanted to do for the children, and she's done it for years and has grown out of her passion and her burden. And I appreciate those on our children's committee. Sister Bonnie, though, has a rare and a unique passion for children. And her business this month with the children's choir and their Thanksgiving, she's always doing something with them, taking them somewhere. I appreciate all of our children's committee members. They do such a wonderful job with our kids, and we're building the kingdom of God in our children. Everybody say praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Brother Jeff, I don't know if it's here or there, but I'm one-sided here. I'm firing on one half, so I'll be leaning to one side. We're going to be studying the 23rd Psalm. We're continuing our trek through the Old Testament. And we're on Psalms 23, probably the best known, most beloved of all the Psalms. And I have stood on many a grassy hillside and read this psalm in the hearing of mourners and those that were full of grief at the loss of a loved one. And this is a powerful psalm for those that are walking in that situation and that condition. But it is far more pervasive and broad in its application than simply that. And we're going to move into it this morning. Don't know how far we'll get. But let's read this together. Everyone say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Praise the Lord. God bless you. If you love his word and you're comforted by the power of his word, as you're seated this morning, let's give him praise and thanks for it. Let's bless his name. Mighty God, we praise you. We worship you. We lift you up, oh God. Thank you for your word, mighty God, that is forever settled in the heavens. Praise God. Everybody say praise the Lord. I appreciate Brother Freeman so ably filling in the pulpit this past Wednesday. Gives me a great deal of liberty to be able to, at the last minute, walk out of town and know that this pulpit is well covered. And I appreciate him for that. And we appreciate the Freeman family. Psalms 23, God is the great shepherd. This is, as is true with typology in the Word of God, typology in God's Word tends to move from one end of the book to the other, and God buries it in layers and weaves it together like a tapestry, and it speaks to us out of the Old Testament, and it comes to pass in the New Testament or in our own lives. And here David gives us God as the great shepherd. And David knows about shepherding. He's been raised up in a family. His dad's name is Jesse. And David's been a shepherd boy for as long as he can remember. And he's stood by those sheep and tended them in the heat and in the cold. And he knows what the job of shepherd is about. And he knows what the relationship between sheep and shepherd is like. And he says, God is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And he touches on God's consummate goodness and his provision, because later Jesus will say the shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And he's talking about what he would do as the Christ and as the sacrifice for our sins. God is the shepherd of Israel as they come out of Egypt in the wilderness of the Exodus. And he leads them by fire and by cloud, giving them water every day and giving them bread every morning. He is the good shepherd as he leads them across that first wilderness there between Egypt and promise. And in the parable, Jesus teaches about the good shepherd, how he leaves the 99 and he goes and finds the lost one and puts that lost one on his shoulders and bears it under his own power out of the wilderness and into a place of safety. And Jesus tells them without any hesitation, I am the good shepherd. Praise the Lord. In Mark chapter 6, there's an interesting story of the people have gathered to hear the word of God out in the wilderness. And it's a desert place, Mark says. And they're in the desert. And Jesus is going to perform one of the first miracles of the breaking and dividing and multiplication of the bread there in the wilderness. And as he does that, he says, have the people sit down in companies on the grass. And the word of God said that this was a desert place, but then it said he had them sit down on the green grass. And Dr. Wilson provokes us to thought and tells us that that green grass wasn't there before that crowd showed up. And that green grass hadn't been there in a long time, because it wouldn't have been a desert had it been full of green grass. But when Jesus showed up, and not only was he providing for them in the natural, but he was providing for them in the typological. He was saying, wherever I am and I'm in association with my people, there's going to be a deep pasture, a green place for you to stand and for you to feed. Well, praise the Lord. The word of God said that David had this, he's got this shepherding background. And so when he stands and relates to us about the shepherd, he's exhibiting quite a bit of boldness. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. No question, no maybe, no speculation. He said, that's going to be my portion. I won't want. I'll be in full. I'll be by green pastures, and I'll be by still waters. That's the promise. And he boldly proclaims that. And as some of you are hearing that, or as you say that, there's a part of your natural mind that already begins to speak against it. Well, wait a minute. What about a negative situation? Or how about the trouble that's on hand? Can you really say that? Was David really saying that in confidence, or was he saying it in hope? David, in boldness and in faith and in confidence based on relationship, said, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He said, he restores my soul. There's going to be a time that I am depleted and I'm wrung out and I'm worn down, but I know my shepherd has what I need. He's not going to go look to the Philistines. He's not going to go seek out the Egyptians, but he knows that his God has everything that he needs. When you're walking with him, there'll be times that you're tired. When you walk with him, there'll be times that you're worn down, but if you'll keep your gaze and your mind stayed on Jesus, God's going to provide everything you have need of. David is proclaiming this with confidence. He said he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He says it's not even about me, it's about him. I belong to him, and he's lifted up his name above his word, and he's not going to let his sheep fall or fail or stumble, because he's going to keep them up because of his name. He's going to continue to bless his sheep because of the reputation of his name. David said, it's so bad that even if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I won't be afraid. Now, is that just whistling through the graveyard? Is that just big talk from somebody that's not in danger? He said, if I have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death itself, I won't be afraid, because he's there. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He said, thou art with me. He said, I don't have anything to worry about because the shepherd's there in the midst of that valley. As long as I've got his hand, as long as I can see his figure, as long as I can hear his gentle voice, I know everything's gonna be all right. We sing today, 3,000 years later, we sing, it's gonna be all right. It's gonna be all right. Got a promise from my Jesus, it'll be all right. Anybody ever sung that in your minute and you know it, and right here this place this morning, you know that he is the good shepherd. You know he's going to lead you into pasture. You know he's going to give you the water you need. You know that his rod and his staff, they're going to be there to comfort you. And even when death comes knocking on the door, you're not going to have to be afraid. I mean, is that down inside you today? Is that your reality in the spirit today? David, he has that reality, and he's speaking in confidence, and he's speaking in faith, and he is speaking on basis of his relationship with the shepherd. He knows some things, and he's a veteran of the wars of walking with God. The Old and the New Testament beat out the mantra, the just shall live by faith. You've got to have that. It's got to be alive and powerful in your life today. Everybody say, the just shall live by faith. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, without faith, it's impossible to please him. It begins with the words of your mouth. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. And if you say enough, there is no hope, there won't be any. And if you speak enough that there's trouble and there'll always be trouble, there always will be. And if you can't see the sunshine, you just go ahead and say, I know it's up there somewhere on the other side of these clouds. I know my God has everything in control. You need to open your mouth today, because the just shall live by faith. And the shepherd, the earthly shepherd, is making a proclamation here. He's saying, I've got confidence and God is able. I know that God has never failed. Praise God. Come on. He's never lost a fight. He's never lost a battle. He's never let anybody down. He's always been there right on time. It always happens according to his word. His word never goes forth and falls null and void, but it always accomplishes what he's spoken. You might be Israel and scattered all over the world for thousands of years, but by the time the word of God is finished with you, the word of God declares plainly and clearly that Israel would be scattered and that God would gather them back. And I'll tell you, Israel is in the land today. It is impossible that they're there, but they are because of the sovereign word of God. Somebody clap your hands unto him and bless his name. Oh, come on, let's praise his name for it. His word is sure. His word is true. Praise God. Paul warns us, though. He says there's a part of your natural mind that'll never be subject to the law of God. He said the natural mind is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. That means that while you're in prayer, it'll always be speaking. While you're worshiping, it'll always be doubting. While you're believing, it'll always be questioning. And while you're trying to walk for God, it'll always be showing you side roads and other venues and other possibilities. There's a part of your natural mind never will be conformed to the word of God. And that's just the way it is. And in the midst of the 23rd Psalm, when David is speaking so plainly, there's a voice that rises up and says, oh yeah. Well, if he were in my situation right now, he wouldn't be speaking so boldly. If he had gone through what I've gone through, he wouldn't be saying, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down. He's, instead of a part of your brain saying, I've lain in some places where David's never been before. He leads me beside the still waters. And somebody's mind is saying, yeah, well, David needs to be out on the stormy sea with me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. And there's a voice that says, yeah, but son, if you'd stood there with me by that cold graveside, if you had stood by the side of the road and watched them die, if you had held their hands and begged God and pleaded for mercy and watched life slip away from them, you wouldn't be able to say that with all the boldness and the confidence that you're speaking with. David, what does David know? David's a king. David's wealthy. He's got an army behind him. David's got anything he wants. He's chosen. He's popular among the people. He's a champion. He's got all the wealth of all the conquered nations. He's favored and anointed of God. The prophet came down and poured the oil on his head. He is a young man who tears lions and rips bears and kills giants. How could David in his psalm apply to my life? How could he speak concerning the things that I've experienced? David is blessed. David is lucky. David doesn't know anything about my life. And you could read the psalm and you could say, yeah, that's a song somebody's singing somewhere, but that's not a song for me. That's a song somebody's singing in a place where they have what they need and everything's going well and they don't have my life and they don't have my struggles. And all of that's easy in an easy time. But somebody's thinking, let David come down into my pit and let's hear him sing. Let David come down into my life and let the sunshine get closed off for week after week and let every friend turn their back on him and let trouble come down on him like a ton of bricks and let his friends turn away and let his job fall out and let him lose his sense of security and let him walk in old age and let it twist his body. And then let's hear what David has to say. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. David, I can take you to some places where you'd be in great want. I can take you to some places that would make you fearful, David. If you had to live in my world. I made a call to a man once. And I said, praise the Lord. What a great day to be in the kingdom of God. And he was just dead silent on the other end. He said, well, I don't know what world you're living in. But in my world, there's devils and demons and dingbats. And actually, we're living on the same planet. We were connected through the ether of telecommunication. And I got a feeling the sun was shining where he was. I haven't walked in his shoes. And there is wisdom in the fact that you don't judge somebody before you've walked where they've walked. You give everybody the benefit of the doubt. That's just good practice for living. Don't be quick to accuse, and don't be quick to scorn, and don't be quick to criticize. Praise God. But this gentleman just couldn't get on board with my happy response. And I know he thought it was just veneer. I know he thought it was just padding for the conversation that was to come. He just thought I was glib and happy on the surface, but surely I had to be as miserable as him down on the inside. And a lot of folks probably think that about David. But let me tell you about David. Let me tell you about a young man that lived in a happy home and did what his daddy wanted him to do. And he was diligent about his job of shepherding. But even in the middle of that, doing right and doing good and trying your best, it didn't stop the lion from coming out of the underbrush and saying, I'm going to take your sheep. And David knew what it was like to be in a fight for his life. And the Bible gives you the synopsis, and the Bible just gives you the quick on it. And he tore the lion. And when the bear came, he tore the bear. And physiologically, that's probably not all by himself. He's got God's hand on his life. But he knows what a fight is like. And he knows what the maw of that lion looks like. And the question has to arise in your humanity. If I'm doing everything I'm supposed to be doing, and I'm walking right, and I'm faithful, and I'm living right, why is this lion after me? But I've got to tell you, it's just part of life. Wherever your little corner of the world is, there's going to always be a lion, and there'll always be a bear, and there'll always be a struggle. And as long as you live here, it's going to come. There was the day that the old man Samuel came to Jesse's house because God had told him, we're going to find a replacement for King Saul. And all the sons, strong and noble, stood before Samuel, and none of them received the anointing oil. And he asked the question, are there any other sons? And he said, well, yeah, there's a little shepherd boy up on the hillside. Well, bring him here. And the Holy Ghost said, that's the one. And they poured the oil on his head, and it looked like a good thing, and it looked like a winning proposition, but it wasn't long till that oil had cost him his life with his family, his proximity to his closest relationships. It had cost him his security. It had him running like a fugitive through the backwaters and the hillsides of Judea. The anointing came on him, but it wasn't all glitz and glamour. There was a price to pay for the anointing. David was favored of God. He was anointed of God. But he knew what it was like to walk into a place in a valley where nobody else wanted to fight. But he was the one that had the gumption enough to walk down in the valley and say, if nobody else will fight this giant, I'll fight him. But I'll tell you, he knows what a fight is like. When you read that, David's running there. And the greatest giant in that valley that day wasn't the giant Goliath that stood there challenging him, but there was another giant on his back. None of his brothers were with him. They had ridiculed him. They said, what are you doing here? You come here to cause trouble. I know you. You're a mischief maker. Trying to do good and your own brothers are on your back. Trying to do right and your own brothers are on your case. And then all of Israel's hiding. The king's not with you. None of the people are with you. Have you ever walked in a lonely place? Have you ever been all by yourself, just you and your experience in God? Have you ever walked in the calling of God and it isolated you from everybody but the devil? I want you to know David's walk there. But in the middle of that, in the middle of it all, he said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You're not talking about a man that hadn't seen trouble. You're not talking about a personality that hadn't been to the wars. This is a man that knows it, knows the power of loneliness, knows the trauma of separation, and yet he stands and says, God, all by himself on a mountaintop, is my shepherd. God leads me where I need to go. God is my refuge. God is my strength. God is my high tower. This is David, that as he gained strength and popularity among the people, he was the victim of the political thinking of Saul. And Saul said, hey, I want to give you something for killing the giant. I want you to marry my daughter. But to marry her, you got to go kill 200 Philistines. David says, sure, I'll go do it. And he's got to fight for what he wants. And he's got to struggle for what he wants. And he lays his life on the line. And he may not know it at that time, but he's under the hand, the machinations of some political mind there working in Saul. And before it's over with, Saul's jealousy is bubbling up. And David, who has only done good and only done right and only been what he had been asked to do, he had gone out and killed the 200 Philistines. But the jealousy and the venom and the hatred in Saul began to bubble to the top. And before it was over, he had hurled that javelin at David and tried to pin him to the wall, and David winds up running for his life. Don't tell me David didn't know what it was like to be abused and used and have somebody come down on him because of the good in his life. Don't think you're the only one. Don't ever let the devil take you there. Don't ever let the devil make you think that you're the only one. No, no. There are champions of God who have walked where you're walking right now, and they made it through there, and they're out on the other side. God has been their strength, and God has been their shield, and God has taken care of them. Praise God. David said, he anoints my head with oil. He restores my soul. He said, he is all that I need. But he can identify with you in your trouble. Don't let your trouble isolate you and cause you to think that nobody's ever struggled like you're struggling. Don't let the devil or your obstacle make you feel like you're the only one that's ever had to drink from that cup. David drank from it, and David said, the Lord is my shepherd. Well, praise God. We talk about David as a model of worship. And when the Ark of the Testament is coming back into town, David is dancing with all of his might down Main Street. And we use him as a template because he takes off his royal robe and he puts on the ephod of worship, a simple man's robe. And he distances himself from the grandeur of his throne and of his reignment as a king. And he wants to identify in humility with God. And he's down in the street, and he's running, and he's leaping, and he's dancing. And some voice would say, yeah, that's David. David with all that clapping his hands and dancing and shouting, oh, the Lord is good. Well, if David had to suffer where I've suffered, then David wouldn't be shouting so much or leaping so high. But I read in the Word of God where David was chased like a deer in front of the hounds, and how he had to live in caves and he had to cut himself off from his family, and he's living in a cave called Adullam, and Saul's trying to take his life, and all he's done is what's right and what's good, and he's drinking a bitter cup. You can do right and drink from a bitter cup. You can do good and still have to drink from a bitter cup, and you may not understand it, and God may not be talking to you, and it may be a long time before God pulls the cover off and shows you what the business was all about. But when you're walking with him, it is wisdom to say, I may not see the end right now, but the Lord is my shepherd. I'm following after him. I may not know where we're going, but the Lord is my shepherd, and I know he's got it all in control. Somebody clap your hands unto him and bless his name. Praise God. David knows what it's like. David knows what you're going through. David's felt what you're feeling. David had a tortured and a miserable life in a lot of ways. David knows what it's like to have his love shattered. That first bride that he was offered, that first wife that he was given. He went out and did everything he was supposed to do, and then she was taken and given to another man. He knows what it's like to have his heart broken. David knows what it's like to have his kids fighting, hating one another, because Absalom and Amnon were bound against one another, and Absalom takes Amnon's life. He knows what it's like to have kids that are out of line and out of order and warring against one another. Well, if David knew the hell that was going on in my life, he wouldn't be able to sing, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But David knows what it's like to have children rebel and try to take your life. David knows what it's like to stand in a place with the news like a weight on his shoulders. Your son Absalom is dead. And to cry, Absalom, oh Absalom, and weep and mourn for a dead child. David knows what it's like, but he's still singing, Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He said, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. It's a voice of confidence. It's a voice of faith. And I'm telling you, he's taken every lick God has to give him and life has to throw at him. And he's still singing. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. He said, for thou art with me. In the first three verses, he's talking about God. But down in the heart of it, he gets into it. He begins to talk to God. He said, thou art with me. He said, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I'm telling you, he begins to talk out of that relationship. And he says, it is going to carry me through any hellhole that I have to walk through. David knows what it's like to have his family fall apart, but he's still standing and saying, God is my shepherd. I shall not want. What is he doing? In the middle of the trouble, he's still opening his mouth and saying what God has said. In the middle of the turmoil, he's still crying out with faith and with confidence. God is everything I need. God, somebody shake your neighbor's hand right now and say, I've got a few troubles, but God is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Come on, somebody that's in need right now, somebody that's needing a miracle and a blessing right now, you say, he maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. Somebody that's wrung out and you're tired and you're broken down and you feel like you can't go another step, lift up your voice and say, he restoreth my soul. Somebody say, God restores my soul. Somebody that's faltering and failing, and you're betraying your own confidence in God, and you've backslidden, and the enemy's saying you can't make it back, and the carnal mind is saying you're not going to be able to make it back. I want you to know, David wasn't perfect. David stole another man's wife and murdered that man. But David says, but he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The plan of God is bigger than your failure. The purpose of God is greater than your sin. And God, if you will, God will lead you into a place of restoration and a place of righteousness. Come on, clap your hands. Lift up your voice. My God, my God, my God. Shake your neighbor a little bit and say, rejoice not over me, oh my enemy. For when I fall, I shall arise. It's not a question of if I fall, it's when I fall. I'm gonna get up. Hell can't keep you down. The Lord is your shepherd. Failure can't keep you down. The Lord is your shepherd. Come on up. Come on. He's always reaching for you. He's always looking for you. He's always ready for you. Clap your hands. Lift your voice. Somebody just say it. The Lord is my shepherd. Do you have everything you need? I know this is a little schizophrenic, but do you mean in the natural or in the spirit? Because I may not have everything I need in the natural, but the Lord is my shepherd. And I know I shall not want. David said, now listen, he's running for his life. He's in a cave. He's in the wilderness. He's eating from hand to mouth. He barely can scratch up enough to keep himself alive. But he said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Come on. Somebody that's in need right now, you turn to your neighbor and say, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging prayer. Hallelujah. Somebody want to praise him a little bit right now? Just praise him a little bit right now. Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me beside the still waters. I know that's backwards. Go ahead. Lie down in green pastures. He restoreth. Restored my soul. Somebody say, the Lord is my shepherd. Come on, somebody in trouble say, I shall not walk. He making me lie down in green pastures. He's leading me beside the still waters. Oh, he restoreth. Shake somebody, say, he restoreth. He restoreth my soul. David knows what it's like to lose your job. When Absalom rose in power, David got everybody together and they walked out of town. He was losing his throne and his position and his power, and he was at midlife crisis. And he lost his job. And a man was walking on the other side of the gully there, throwing rocks at him. His name is Shimei. And Shimei said, this is what happens to you, David. This is what you deserve. You're a bloody man. He was talking about all that business with Saul, and Shimei was still faithful to the house of Saul, throwing rocks at him. And Abishai said, let me go over, and David, let me go over and take his head off. And David said, no, no. You see, the Lord may have sent him to curse David. So all the while they're walking out, David's looking straight ahead, and this guy's throwing rocks, and he's throwing dirt, and he's cursing, and he's yelling and screaming, and all those mighty men, they're just trembling. They want to go kill this guy so bad. But David's walking along, and they can't hear the song that's in his mind. But the song that's in his mind is, the Lord is my shepherd. It doesn't matter if I lose my job. Come on now. Promotion doesn't come from the north or the south. Promotion comes from God. If God wants to move you to a new place, you got to leave the old place. Let me run that by you again. Let's see. This is a real difficult concept. To get there, you got to leave here. But as long as the Lord is my shepherd, I don't have to worry about where there is. I've just got to be ready to follow after him. Somebody shout, I shall not walk. David knows what it's like to get old. They're ready to go out and fight giants again. They're fighting the relatives of Goliath. And he goes out, and some of the men gather in and say, David, you don't have it anymore. They said, don't do this. If you go out, the light of Israel goes out. He said, let us go fight. And he had to stand back, and he had to watch those young men go. And they all went, and they slew giants. David had set the pattern. David had given them the precedent. David had shown them the possibilities. They were awakened to the potential because of David's life. But there comes a time, even in David's life, where the young men say, stand back, Dad. Let us go. And they went down, and that's a hard thing for a man. It's a hard thing for a man to say, I do better to let a young man do this job. I do better. Now listen, you've been casting vision. You've been raising up people. You've been talking and praying about the kingdom of God. Don't get in the way. Let the kingdom of God flourish. Let it resound in the lives of all of these around you. David got so old, they had to put him to bed. He lost his vitality. He lost his strength. He just lay there trembling. Mighty giant killer. Don't you understand that this life is just a passing through? Don't you let the specter of losing what you have in this life shake you in your confidence in God. I guarantee you there under the covers with his gnarled little hands, he's trembling and cold. I guarantee you he was singing, Lord is my shepherd, I shall not. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. Death, come on now. Don't you let death shake you up and scare you. You need to get on the right side. Jesus is my shepherd. He's already walked through the grave. He's already walked through death. He already came out on the other side. I shall not want. Turn to somebody and say, he's got everything I need. Shake somebody and say, it's going to be all right. Because God is our great shepherd. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I want you to know the man that wrote this psalm and sang this psalm. He knew about every area of human misery and human trouble. But still he sang. And I'm telling you, the song is worth singing today. I know you got trouble, that's life. And I know some of you are hurting and some of you are in need. But you need to lift up based on relationship. You need to lift up that voice in confidence and in faith. And you need to begin to sing, the Lord is my shepherd. Come on, come on. Somebody that believes it, come right on down to this altar right now. And make a proclamation with your mouth. Somebody say, he prepares a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. Look up at him and say, thou anointest my head with oil. My God, don't you know, in the middle of all that trouble, God still has everything you need. And if you'll just get up out of the mully grubs today, God's got a table spread before you. Come on, somebody needs to dance a little bit. Let's do some Sam Emery this morning. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I got nothing to worry about. Because I got two angels following me. I've got one on the right hand and one on the left hand. One of them's goodness and the other one's mercy. And I know they're following me everywhere I go. Every day of my, come on, come on. Come on, trouble doesn't last always. The blessing of God is right on your heels. Come on, the blessing of God is right there with you right now. But the trump card is this. And I know that I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I know that my name is written on the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, if you're in the house this morning and you've never received the Holy Ghost, God wants to give you the Holy Ghost right now. If you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus for the cleansing of your sin, God wants to do that this morning. We've got water. God's got an outstanding supply of Holy Ghost. You can receive from God today. Church, I just need you to begin to lay claim to the promise of God and begin to worship Him. I need somebody to begin to praise God and somebody to begin to be a conduit for the flow of the Holy Ghost, to begin to speak in tongues and let the Holy Ghost flow through your life right now. If you're standing by somebody that needs the Holy Ghost, pray for them right now. If you're standing with somebody that needs to be baptized, tell them you'll go with them right now.
The Lord is mine.